brother.
Hey, brother.
Hey, what's up, brother?
How are you, man?
I'm freezing up here in the Great White North.
Oh, well, when you see my next video I drop, my next cigar walk, you'll see how beautiful the sky is here.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, I'm sweating a lot. It's almost a little too hot. Gosh.
And you're getting vitamin D down there? Well, I'm not. My God.
I am on a vitamin D overdose, dude.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Stop making me jealous. I might have to move down there.
Well, I think you should, and I think you guys should start looking for property around, Tampa, so that we don't have to. Maybe we can like actually. You'd be like the only family we'd invite over to having an adult conversation. That'd be kind of awesome, don't you think?
Yeah. Can you buy? I never really would have thought about it before, but I don't know if I should even buy. I'm thinking of maybe just coming down and renting, because I don't even know if Florida's going to be safe in the next year.
Oh, I think renting's a fine idea, personally. You know, I remember after I filed bankruptcy and I had my lost decade of trying to get back my credit score.
Yeah.
We rented everywhere, and there's just something kind of nice about it. There's basically, you know, you fulfill your maybe 2-year commit, and you either re-up and extend, or you move somewhere else.
Yeah.
What's nice about that is where you don't have to worry about paying a sales commission and everything that goes with home ownership, including all of the taxes and if you are a good family who, if you don't have pets, that's kind of a bonus. If you don't smoke, that's a huge bonus. You know, I only smoke on my cigar walks. I don't smoke inside, but, landlords look for people like Ab the Fakeologist. They'll give you a good deal. You know?
Well, I don't know. It's something to think about as my bones get older and rickety and just dealing. There's a lot of ice under the snow right now. And, man, if you fall on the ice, it hurts. It hurts a lot.
I bet. No, thank you, man. I know that you guys, I guess, get used to it. But does anyone truly love it up there? Like, just get jazzed that it's almost winter?
Well, I guess if you're a ski guy or a ski bunny. Did you ever live in anywhere cold?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in, I was born in Kansas, and then I went to high school and college in Iowa. And it's cold as shit in Iowa.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I moved when I was right out of college. I joined a great company called R. Donnelly. It was in number 3 on the top 5 companies to sell for in the United States back then, you know, like when IBM was a thing and stuff like that. So I got a great job there, and the way that they did things was you'd go through 6 months of intensive training to learn the printing industry, and you would travel around to these different printing plants, and you'd learn about offset printing and rotogravure printing and
And then
you would, during that 6 months, you would end up meeting all of the area managers from around the country. And then what they would do is during the week of your graduation from training, they got together like the NFL teams do for draft day, and they draft the rookies, if you will. And so you don't know when you are going into this training where you're going to end up. And I got hired by this gentleman at the time. I think he was like 67. His name was Kenzie McDonald. He was known for his eyebrow hair, you know, was like a cartoon. Lovely man. I loved Kenzie. But boy, oh boy, did he have some ear hair and eyebrow hair. He recruited me and put me down in Tampa, Florida. So,
what year was that?
Down here. That would have been 88.
Oh, God.
1988.
You've really been in a warm climate for a long time now. That's 12 plus 21 is 30. Oh, my God, 33 years. Hmm. Suspicious.
Oh, yeah. And my wife, Yana, she, you know, grew up in the Soviet Union, and she lived in Ekaterinburg, which is probably as cold as where you guys are. So she was always used to the cold. And when she moved over here, she was kind of miserable. She really missed the cold, you know.
Right.
But that didn't last too long. She was commenting the other day that there's no way that she could deal with cold weather anymore, because you really do. Your body gets used to it.
Your body gets used to anything and everything. We're very adaptable, so I have no problem. It's just when you, we're very adaptable creatures. I don't doubt that at all, but I don't mind as long as the sun is out where I am, really. I used to live in Vancouver on the West Coast. In the winter, it can rain for 3 weeks. Really hard on your psyche when you don't see the sun for 3 weeks. Very hard.
Oh, that would suck. That would suck. Then that would kind of turn you into one of these kids from Oregon. I think that creates liberals.
Well, I don't know what it creates. It creates depression. I know that for a fact.
I think it creates liberals.
So you've been in the warmth for a long time, and is it ever too warm in Florida? That's the one thing that I always hear as a complaint. It's too hot in the summer. How do you cope with that?
It's too hot in Chicago, because Chicago gets as humid as it does in Florida. Except you don't have the Gulf of Mexico blowing it away across the state. So
okay.
In Florida, you know, it rarely gets over 100. It's usually, you know, mid-90s at its hottest. And you always have a little bit of a wind. And it's humid. I joke that Florida is 6 months of August and 6 months of perfect. And I think that's about right. You know,
I love that.
Just for 6 months, it's like today, man. I don't even know what day it is, February something. And it's 75 degrees and absolutely beautiful. I mean, one of the most beautiful days of the year so far. And I love it. I just love it, you know.
Yeah, really good for your mood. Really, really good.
Right. And now it was funny. It's like... I have this weird need, you know. I'm not at peace ever when I don't feel like I'm being productive. I don't know. It's why I can't take naps. I need to feel productive. So that's why I like this time of year, because you can go for long walks, and especially now with all of our initiatives, you know, it allows you to be, well, in my case, I'm kind of liking these cigar walks. I just recorded, I think, a really great one. I talk about the DBBs, who they are. And are you familiar with Khrushchev? Back in 1959, he gave a speech to the UN.
Khrushchev.
Basically saying that communism is going to crush America. And they'll do it through not direct communism, but I'll just put in the tip. They'll do it with socialism first. And he had a very, very strategic way of doing that, to where if you're going to turn a democracy into communism, it has to go through the path of socialism. And there are 8 legs to that stool, you know, to be able to gain control. And when you gain control of all of those 8 legs, then you can death march communism in with ease. And that's what's happening today. Exactly what's happening today. So I went through the 8 legs of the stool, And I don't know. It's just kind of fun. I mean, it makes the walks go by a little quicker.
Well, when you're, yeah, that's pretty good that you knew all that and you can remember it for your walk without notes.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it's any good. I'm just saying it makes my walks go a little faster, and I feel productive. You know?
Yeah, well, that's good.
And who knows? If people like it, I'll continue. If people don't like it, then it'll fade to black.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of the cigar part where you're hacking and spitting and coughing, and when you're out of breath, that I don't even like when Jeff's out of breath, because it makes me anxious to hear that kind of out of breath noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know that's on purpose with intent, because we're trying to train you.
I don't want it.
Look past the messenger and listen to the message. You know, it's. I'm kidding.
No,
I like my cigar. And if you know, you can be anxious, or you can just say, okay, I'll deal with that. Don't have to listen, that's for sure.
All right. I may try. I'll try.
Vote with your earballs. You know?
Exactly.
But no.
But I won't. Yeah.
Bitcoin's on a terror. It's almost
$1,000. It went through 50.
Elon Musk. What's that?
Did it go through 50?
It hasn't broken 50, but when it does, you know that is a psychological barrier that will probably I mean, Elon Musk, if you don't think Bitcoin's ultimately going to be controlled by the DVDs, you're whacked. But
well, they're going to control.
Be able to get in.
Yeah, they control everything that people are attracted to. It doesn't matter. They just control where the crowd goes. That's always the goal. Manage the crowd.
Right.
So if the crowd goes over here, then that's where they go. They have every tool in the shed to go grab the crowd. There's no problem finding the crowd wherever they are. And
yeah,
obviously, it's better.
That's right.
Especially if they lead the crowd over to where they've already established, like parlor or wherever, controlled opposition, controlled corporation, whatever it is.
What do they call those honey traps?
Yeah, I would call them honeypots. Facebook's a honeypot, and Twitter's a honeypot. You know, I was thinking that if Trump was really a good guy, he could have had a Mastodon server. He could have done any number of things to instantly start a Twitter knockoff. Because without Trump on Twitter, not very interesting anymore. But he could have had his own social media anytime he wanted. That was available to him.
That's probably one of the best things to point to. To argue against that he's not controlled opposition. That's probably one of the best, Ab, because you're right.
Well, I think so.
I mean, I think he's totally controlled, don't you?
I think you end up being controlled for so many reasons, because the system is so big. You're one guy, and
yeah.
I don't even know if he was a great consensus builder. He might have been very entrepreneurial. Entrepreneurial people don't always get along with other people. And
right.
To run a government, it's all by consensus, a lot of it. You have to get people you don't like to agree with you. And that's why the China model is so successful, because if you don't agree with the ruling party, you just get rid of them. It's pretty easy.
Right.
It's pretty easy, and that's why they want to bring it here. So efficient, you know. You can build 6,000 miles of highway in a year. We can't even build 6 miles of highway where I live without a million people opposing it or saying, "Oh, that you know, you're gonna wreck this bug sanctuary where your highway's gonna go." I'm not saying it's not legitimate beef. They're not legitimate beefs, but it's very inefficient when you're trying to build 6,000 miles of highway when people just start getting in your way. So I can see the appeal of the China model. You can see the appeal from a business point of view. You want to do something?
From a DBB? Yeah. From a DBB's point of view. Absolutely.
You want to build something? Yeah. You just do it. And if someone gets in your way, you just build the highway around them until you make their life miserable or you disappear them or you lower their social credit score so they can't do anything. Whatever tool you want to use, not a problem. I see the appeal. I see why. I don't like it. I don't want it, but I see why they're doing it. Because all these small businesses, you know, everyone has their own ideas. You can only control them so much with rules and regulations. But, you know, people are independent. They want to do their own thing, start their own kind of business. You can see that, but it doesn't always achieve all the social goals that the engineers have in mind, letting people be independent.
Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead. I stopped. I took a breath. Just in case what I was saying wasn't interesting, I stopped in case you wanted to say something. I don't like to take over the conversation.
I'm on that part of my walk that there's just like a quarter mile where you get back into some good land.
Yeah.
But small businesses, they're going to be gone.
That's the plan. Yeah, that is the plan. You can see it. There's no doubt. It's going to happen eventually. It might not be tomorrow, but they're just crushing them with this latest beautiful rule with the COVID. It's such a magical virus that it really can achieve any end you want because it doesn't have to make any sense from a health point of view because you just baffle people with statistics. They can't really argue with you too much because if you're arguing about something invisible, very hard to challenge anywhere, court, in medical court, anywhere. I can see how it works.
But at the same time, it's pretty easy. And kind of the moral of my walk or the basis was that the DBBs play long ball and they're willing to, honey, I'll just put in the tippet and just slow boil the rest of us to where after a while, within a generation or two, you have people that just welcome communism because they'll get their most basic needs met and they'll be so miserable after they lose their jobs, they lose their income, they lose their sustenance.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be happy. They'll be delighted the 2 days a year that they're able to buy meat. That'll be a reason to celebrate.
They'll love their rice and beans on a daily basis, and then they get a steak in November.
Well, what they'll do, and this is what Yannis said, it's just you change your mindset, right? You start the narrative in your own head that, red meat is really bad for you. And so, look, two times a year is plenty. And, you know, it's not healthy, but it is nice, you know, and so they rationalize it. Anything they don't have, they can jujitsu it to where it's absolutely a negative, you know.
In other words, like we said, you adapt. You adapt to your condition, and you learn to love it. Because being miserable, even if you have no money, is just as bad as if you have money and you're miserable. You're still miserable.
You will own nothing and love it.
That's the part I don't agree with. But if you don't know any better, if you've never had money, it's really not hard to, having money and losing it is way worse than never having it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. I'll give you an analogy here about, you know, having something and losing it or not knowing any difference. I was born in Goodland, Kansas, which is, you know, 4,000 people, right? I didn't move from there until I was 12 years old. And up until the time I was 12, I didn't know any different. And it was, everything was just fine. Then I moved to this huge city, in Iowa, Ames, Iowa. It's a university town, and there were 100,000 people there.
Oh, yeah.
It was huge. Now, after I lived there for a bit of time, if somebody said, you got to go back and live in Goodland, Kansas, I'd say, no way. That's the most horrible place on the planet. There's no way. It's so boring. It offers nothing. But when you lived there, you didn't know any different. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
You're fine. Then, when I moved from there, you know, to Tampa, going back to a small city like Ames, man, no way. No way.
How big is Tampa? So how many people are in the Tampa area, greater Tampa?
I think when you take in Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater, which are the primary cities, you're talking about a couple million people.
Okay.
A couple million, yeah. So it's not huge, and it's spread out like crazy. So, you know, it doesn't feel like a city. But it's bigger than Goodland, Kansas.
Yeah.
You can go to the beach. You can go to the evil Disneyland if you wanted. If you had kids and you wanted to indoctrinate them, you could.
Yeah, I know.
If you wear a mask.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Triple up. Yeah, it's so funny. You know, the Bucks won the Super Bowl, and now usually when you win the Super Bowl, you have a big parade in your city.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. The restrictions that they're talking about, to where, I mean, they're going to almost turn it into a virtual fucking celebration, which is just sick.
So you're not getting your party?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I want to go stand like an NPC and scream with delight at the football players driving by in their, convertibles, waving to all of us. And, yeah, I'd like that. Uncle Otto'd do that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with my football that you don't believe in, that you think is all controlled. That's fine. I don't.
All right, that's fine. That's okay.
You might be right, but I just don't see it.
I'm not here to wreck your illusion. You can have your fun, but don't forget,
yeah,
my discovery came a long time ago with hockey, and I didn't even have any research to back it. But when we saw the one game we were watching, my daughter and I, and it went full tilt the wrong way.
Yeah,
I knew our team has a legacy of being bad. We have a 53-year losing streak now. One of the largest,
okay,
one of the biggest loser streaks in professional sports now. But
okay,
the way they lopsided this game, that I couldn't believe I was going to be right. But when I started, it just started to go the wrong way, and I said, this is not looking good. This was maybe a year after the Boston unbombing, and they were giving Boston all kinds of sugary treats to make them feel better. And as a Canadian, I'm always biased that they can't really let a Canadian team win because there's no rating in America, which I get. And hockey was starting to get lots of television revenue. So I was already biased that way. It's really not good for business to have Canadian teams win, even though all the players are Canadian on both sides of the border, but that's not the point. And everyone in the game knows that, including all the players. And they don't really care if they win or not, because they all win anyway when they sign a contract to be players to be players in the league. Not a problem. It's nice to win, but it doesn't change their lives, really. Especially in
yeah.
the cynical day of sports entertainment. And they know for the greater good, they're going to get more of their friends playing hockey on more American franchises if they keep the thing interesting for the U.S. because it's a hard sell in the U.S. There's not a lot of ice throughout the U.S. and the South. So they know all this. So it's really logical to understand they want to make sure this works in the U.S. And if they have to give the U.S. teams in Florida more winning games, then that's easy. I don't see a problem with that. As from a business point of view, it makes perfect sense. Totally
logical.
Well,
where it breaks down for me is you have parents that give their lives for their kids to get into the system and become hockey or NFL experts and elite athletes. And these people, they're playing for their jobs, man. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It could be an injury. It could be anything. So to be able to buy into that it's all rigged theory, you would have to have everybody, maybe not everybody. Maybe it's just a few select people that they buy off. I don't know. Somebody had mentioned it doesn't take too much. If you have a quarterback that's in on the DBB plan, they can easily throw a game.
But I think you might not have got my point. My point was that everyone is on board. They understand they're in sports entertainment. They all understand that. They all understand they got to keep the whole thing going for their own economic survival. They all understand. When you work in a company, you all understand you're working together. You're working together to keep the company going. You're all working on the same team. It's no use if one guy does really well and the rest of the company's flailing. None at all.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah,
that's
I
why,
don't,
that's
I
why
don't.
I say all the hockey players know we got to let Florida do well because we want to get our buddies playing on that new franchise in Arizona where there's not a lot of ice. You see? That's why I say that.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree. I think you totally. I just think you're looking through the wrong colored glasses because you're totally discounting. You're thinking the people are playing for their buddies in the future. Fuck that. They're playing for themselves. They want to continue to make $1 million a year or more than that. They want to take care of their families. They don't care about somebody who's in a hockey league that's coming up. This isn't about propagating that. Now, at a...
Hey, brother.
Still walking?
I have about 10 minutes left. Yes, sir.
All right. Sorry I lost the Bluetooth, but I had to wait. Otherwise, it would keep going back and forth. Yeah, well, that's okay. So we disagree on that one. I what did you think of that Dwight guy video that I didn't play for you the other day? Did you listen to it?
Which one?
Dwight Smith, the former Buck from the early 2000s.
Oh, I didn't listen to it. That's so yesterday. It's like...
Okay,
Yeah, I mean...
What about the gambling angle? Is there anything to the gambling angle that convinces you? The money involved?
Because the point spread for the Super Bowl was 3.5 points. The Chiefs were going to win. So if it's all about gambling, every bet was lost. I mean, they lost so big.
No. There's way too many bets. There's way too many different kind of bets. Not everyone bets the winner with the odds. There's lots of don't bettors. There's lots of spread bettors. There's so many different bets. I'm not sure that just because the pure bets might have been blown out of the water. There's so many other bets that would have paid
big time.
Well, it put it this way: if you were the loan shark, you lost.
No, the guys that bet. I'm not a bettor, but I know the guys that do the spread. They always make money. They're a business. They have no problem making money. They don't care which way the game goes. But it helps if it's it helps if they can control the outcome. That's of course that's just cheating. But even if they didn't cheat, they're still gonna make money with their understanding of how to make point spreads and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm not a gambler, so I don't really understand it. I know is that the smart money would have had the Chiefs winning, beating the Bucks.
Yeah.
And I'll give them credit. I'll give them credit. They usually get it right. It's hard to beat them.
I'm not sure that's even true because I don't follow the bets. I don't follow it. I just know that the house never loses. They just don't lose. Otherwise, Las Vegas would collapse every year and every hotel would have to be resold. They don't lose. They only lose now when it's closed. That's the only time a casino loses, when it's closed.
That's true.
And maybe they will collapse. I don't know. Maybe they want to collapse Sin City because it's just part of the era, the baby boomers. Generation,
you know what,
decadence.
You know what I'm surprised didn't happen? I'm surprised that on some 9/11 anniversary, there wasn't a terrorist attack on New York Casino in Vegas. Wouldn't that have been, logical?
Well, I don't. There's lots of fun ways you could play it, I guess.
But that would have been an easy one.
That might just be too obvious. What's the point? I suppose when they create their operations, they have to have check a lot of boxes for the operation to make it worthwhile. But I don't know how they work. I don't.
Yeah.
All I can see is this operation here that we're in now is just so big and it's accomplishing so many goals. It's such a restructuring of society. And it's all because of a lie, which is the genius.
They are so damn good. It's crazy. You know?
Well.
Just I applaud them.
Yeah. Well, it's also because humans are so forgiving. Humans are so kind-hearted. They're so trusting, all fatal flaws.
Well, and my subscription to the MPC theory, you know, we're all so dumb now. We've just been watered down.
Were we ever smart, though?
Don't know. Good question. Good question. I'm
don't forget
that there's a...
Uh-huh. Everyone was a farmer 100 years ago. Yeah, you were probably really good with your hands and could work the farm and you were really practical, but were you really smarter? Were you worldly? Were you well read? Did you know music and literature of the past and history? I'd say no. A lot of people didn't have to go past grade 8, maybe 100 years ago. That was it.
Yeah.
What was the point of going past grade 8 if you're gonna run a farm? None.
I don't know, but...
And
I'd
why
like
would
to
you
give
train
that a
your
good.
Offspring... Why would you train your offspring to leave the farm? Then who's going to run your farm? You got to think as the owner of the farm, as the head of the household. What use would it be to train all your sons to leave? Then what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question. It happened in my recent generations, you know, my grandparents, they had a farm that was inherited forever, and then my dad and his brother, and it's like their parents wanted them to get an education to go be something, you know, be a banker.
And, to not be farmers.
Yeah, to not be farmers. They wanted to give them a better life, so they're feeling that's kind of natural. So it's like everything else, you know. True happiness is when you want what you have, and there are very few. Right.
Yeah.
Because we all want what we don't have, and that I think that's part of the human condition.
Yeah, I'm pretty content. I just don't want to be told what to do. That's just leave me alone. That's what we're going to be fighting. I don't want them to tell me what I want. I don't want the vaccine. I don't want to get sick. I don't want any of that. So I'm pretty content with what I got, but they're telling me that I got what I got, not just by hard work, but white privilege and by trampling on others, none of which is true. But they're trying to shame me and guilt me into thinking I got here because we just stepped on so many people, which I just don't believe. I refuse to accept it, refuse to believe it, and I don't want it removed and given to someone just because they think it's in the name of equality and justice. I don't buy it. So.
Because you're a playing character. You're not an NPC. I really believe there are two species, those of us who can think and those who are thought for.
There's always people that do the work, and everyone else just watches those people do the work. And they don't mind waiting for their spoils, you know. You hunt the lion, you hunt the dinner, you get the first dibs, and then everyone else can have the rest, whatever you got left over. Lots of people are fine with the leftovers. So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of leftovers, my wife wants me to go
dinner
to the
time.
Store, get some.
All
get
right.
Some steaks.
All right. Well, I haven't had a time. I just got my audio set up. It looks like it's working now, thanks to Velocet. And we worked on it together for a few hours last night. I think it worked.
I saw that. I went to FacoTube, and I think I saw you screwing around in there, right?
Yeah. I was thinking, what is the point of streaming to YouTube? I don't have enough subscribers. I have no subscribers, actually. So I'd rather build my audience on FacoTube, and that way I'm not going to have to keep re-uploading my videos. I'd like to get you streaming a little more there as your primary source. I'd like to get JLB as well. Tim Osmond was just restreaming all his shows, and it was clogging up my directory, so I told him to stop streaming. Well, he was doing 24/7, and it was killing my server. So JLB, you, myself, that's enough for now. Because JLB has trouble keeping his videos online. You have trouble keeping your videos online. So if I can get you guys to do the streaming there, that would be fantastic. And then build your audience there is fine. And that, you know, you could just stream the videos that you think will be taken down, for instance. That kind of thing. Or cut midstream. You don't want to be cut midstream. If you could maybe try a couple over there, that'd be good. Because that's what I prefer.
I'm totally losing you. I'm totally losing you.
Yeah. That's all right.
All right, buddy.
Take care. Good night.
All right.
See you, man.
Yeah, take care.